You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Tonight on the Cooligans, we try to predict what's going to happen with the election. We also discuss Halloween. How did we celebrate? And we do some Premier League recap and some MLS recaps.
That's right. Plus, we talk to Michael Azira of your Chicago Fire. We talked to him everything from coming from Uganda to the U.S., how he ended up in Chicago, and what he thought about Chicago deep dish pizza the first time he tried it. That and more today on the Cooligans!
Hi, this is Ashlyn Harris
and Allie Krieger,
and you are listening to our best friends and favorite comedians,
the Cooligans, bitch.
Yeah, baby!
Vamos, let's go, okay?
Let's go. Potentially the end of our country.
Okay, this is the final season of America.
Like Game of Thrones. Everyone's expecting a lot of fire.
All right, and you know what? I'll be honest, I don't want a red wedding.
Okay? No, and you know, honestly, the storyline doesn't make a lot of sense, but we're here. There's nothing we could do.
Okay, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
That's right, I'm Alexis Guerrero.
All right, we are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show that you have ever seen and that you have ever voted for, hopefully.
Yeah, dude, definitely. We're all the way down on that ballot because we're also we're under the gulliest party.
All right, 2020, vote gully, okay?
don't fill it in with that pen. You need to stab that pen right through that circle for it to register.
Yeah, exciting. Obviously, if you're watching this live right now, you might be on the line. Maybe you're about to vote. We're trying to help you pass the time in some way. Thank you for your civic duty in getting Trump out of office.
Please. Or maybe you're listening to us in your headphones while you're boarding up your home or your small business. Just okay, double checking that your insurance is fully paid.
Yes, you know? I hope our warm, sultry voices will make you feel comfortable in your bunker. Okay. Yeah.
And depending on how this week goes or next few weeks, our entrance might be, oh no. And we might stop sharing where we're dialing in from. You know what I mean?
Okay. Obviously a lot going on. I mean, not only the election, which interestingly enough, I was excited about this on my ballot in New Jersey. A ballot for one of the prop things for legalizing marijuana is on there.
Yeah, that's right, because it's already medicinal in New Jersey. Yeah. But then I think it was Christie.
Now they're going to make it mandatory.
I mean, you're going to need this. but I think it was I think Christie made it for only people with like cancer and or AIDS, something like that. Like it was very restrictive. Okay. So hopefully that loosens it up. And I think New York City should do the same thing, legalize it, but don't waste all that money on the schools. Ain't nobody going to schools right now. Use it to make the subway free. Come on now.
So look, yes, this is why Alexis is not in politics, okay?
We don't need no money for schools. What they learn, they got Zoom. They good.
So the election is obviously going on right now. And then also, over the weekend, it was Halloween.
That's right. Did you dress up?
I did not dress up.
I'm not a Halloween person.
No, I went through a phase of being very much into Halloween, but this time around, because I wasn't going to go anywhere, any party or anything like that, my girlfriend and I, we just decided to put a costume on Nutmeg.
That's right.
And Nutmeg, look, even still, it requires so much effort to do that as well. I barely want to get a costume for myself. I don't want to get it for a dog.
Did you online shop or did you actually go out and have to buy this thing?
No, online.
Good for you.
Yeah, my girl Elaine found it. And we made Nutmeg a beanie baby, as you can see right here. And it was a hit on the internet.
Beautiful. I mean, look at this. Our show has now a third Cooligan, and I couldn't hate it more. Okay. Look at this adorable thing ruining our show.
Okay. He is definitely going to, you know, he could fill in and on any given day if one of us can't make it. So
that's right.
I hope I hope everyone's Halloween was fun and safe as possible. Let's talk about some the other nightmare that is the Premier League. Let's discuss some of the matches, right? Because there were a couple of big results. Arsenal defeating Manchester United, and I
finally. At Old Trafford, finally, yeah. Since 2006.
Yeah, so it was 14 years since they had won at Old Trafford, and it was interesting because when you know, quote unquote, records like this or these streaks sort of end, the announcers don't stop telling you, right?
Yeah.
On the broadcast, it was like they have not won in 14 over and over and over. To
they kept doing it. They kept doing like this, like report, like the announcer jinx. Like like I remember they were going for a corner and they were like, Arsenal hasn't scored from a corner at Old Trafford in 56 years. And I'm like, stop it right now.
No, but they do this on purpose to create this like narrative within the broadcast that keeps you those peaks and valleys of excitement, right? Of like, are they gonna win, are they gonna score, is it gonna happen, are you gonna get your heart broken and things like that. So
them. It's like with like the perfect game, like they don't comment on the perfect, you don't, if an announcer mentions it ruins it. And even if it's superstitious, and I'm not that superstitious, it is when it comes to my team. Leave him alone. But how good did, first of all, El Nene? I am sorry for everything I've ever said about you.
El Nene? It's El Nene, but okay.
I did. El Nene? Yo, he's now, I'm going to hold him like El Nene. All right? Yo, El Nene is absolutely amazing, only because he's next to Partey. The two of them look incredible. Thank you so much for spending the money, Arsenal. Thank you so much.
They did look good. I mean, look, you would wish that they score some more goals that are not simply penalties.
Hey, you got to win. We got 3 points. I don't care about your assessment or your analysis of how
what
we
I
got
do
it.
Love is Mesut Ozil on Twitter is the biggest cheerleader.
Yeah.
It's so strange.
Yeah, but it's a little bit.
It's a little side eye.
It's a little dickish. Can
like,
I say that?
We're happy for the boys getting those 3 points, and it's like you know, it feels like a subtweet, even though he is directly talking about his team.
It's like, yo, congratulations to my ex. I hope he could take care of you. You know what I mean? It's a lot of that, you know?
So funny. Arsenal was always entertaining. The other interesting thing we should discuss is
Everton
Chelsea.
Losing 2 in a row? No? You don't want to talk about it?
What are you going to do? Look, what happened?
Everton are back, baby!
the red cards. Once we get our players back from their 42-game suspensions, it will be fine. And we'll be back to the top of the table of the championship. It's going to be great.
Yerimina realizing he doesn't have that speed for 90 minutes straight was kind of fun to watch.
It was challenging. Anyway, but we'll get Digne back, we'll get Richarlison back, and everything will be fine. We're in second place, okay? But still better than Arsenal. Anyway, Chelsea, they went 3-0 against Burnley, but Christian Pulisic is injured during the warm-up. He was supposed to start this game. He was furious. He looked
so mad. He ripped off the penny. He slams it on the ground. He's got his head in his hands. Like, you know, when a player of yours misses a goal and they don't react like it was the worst thing that happens, you almost be like, yo, I don't like this player no more. So I feel like to some degree you have to react that way. But this was the realest I've ever seen him react, because it was like there's no real cameras on him at that moment, but he is absolute furious. And I like this edge. I just wish we would wrap him in bubble wrap. You know what I mean?
I don't understand. This is becoming a – look, it's been a concern. He has injuries. I'm like wondering what – I don't think I've seen what the injury was. He sort of took like a little bit of a slip or something. It was very strange. So
he clearly pulled something. But he is being rushed back a little bit, so – Hopefully it's just a little bit more time and everything will be fine World Cup.
Save him for
he's good enough. He doesn't need to play until the World Cup. Just put him away. Put him in the cupboard, baby.
Put him in a cryo chamber. Unfreeze him. Like Demolition Man, all right?
A padded room, but like with windows, like a respectful padded room.
Stick around because we will be joined by midfielder for the Chicago Fire, Michael Azira, and he's awesome. One of the just great literally kindest dudes you're ever gonna meet.
So, we don't know that yet because we haven't actually spoken to him. But no, he's great.
Ooh, the magic of television. Yeah. One thing I did want to talk about, especially in MLS, the Hudson River Derby.
Let's go.
over the weekend. Yes, if you're a Red Bulls fan, you're probably not saying that.
But although, I mean, it wasn't a terrible game if you're a Red Bulls fan. But the only reason we're bringing this up is because NYCFC won. And won pretty big. They won 5-2.
Yeah, the biggest margin that NYCFC has won by. The most amount of goals they've scored against Rebels in one game. And you saw it even after the fifth goal. They were still going for more goals.
A friend of mine who's a Red Bull fan texted me. He's like, why are they making substitutions past the 90th minute? There's only 3 minutes left. This is disrespectful. And I'm like, do you remember the 7-0 match?
Yeah, dude. You want to talk about disrespect? Okay.
Yeah, buddy. You guys celebrated on home plate after the seventh goal. Give us a chance, will you?
Yeah. That ship sailed. The humble ship sailed a long time ago. Between these two teams.
They did handshakes at the beginning. That's more than enough.
Yeah. No, man, but they Tati Castellanos with a hat trick.
That's right.
They played well. I think the impressive thing here was after going down 2-1 and still being able to Garen Mackay Steven tying the game up was huge before the end of the half, because it's a different mindset going into that second half if they are down.
But also that Garen Mackay Stevens goal, what you started to see was like they're like, okay, look, we'll play out of the back, but when we see an opening, we're going for it. And it felt like a lot of NYCFC sort of suffers from what a couple of clubs in MLS do, which is if they want to play out of the back, they're kind of very steadfastly playing out of the back, even when there's opportunities to do other stuff. And what you started to see was they're like, okay, we're going to play out of the back, but the moment you start to press up a little bit higher, we're going to go over the top and kind of keep you guessing. And it was kind of fun to see. It was a fun back and forth match until the second half. And then, that's when Alex Ring was like, let me show you what I didn't even know I could do and score a golazo with my weak foot.
Yeah, and we know that he did that against he scored some bangers in his NYCFC career. That first one, his first goal for NYCFC was that banger against Atlanta United that he scored against Brad Guzan that tied the game at Mercedes-Benz. But to do this with his left foot is bro. It was. I think it shocked absolutely everyone. Ryan Merrill was like, okay, is this this type of game it's going to be?
Who's this guy? You know what it reminds me of? For those of you who didn't watch it, imagine if we were eating pizza and Christian was like, honestly, I don't think they baked it enough. We'd all be like, ah! Why? Who's that one?
What is this? Oh, there's two pizza experts now?
That's not the one who normally does this. It was fun. 5-2. Thank you, NYCFC, for capping that off. And I think both clubs are making the playoffs anyway, so it'll be fun to see what happens in the playoffs. Don't leave, because when we get back, we got Michael Azira from the Chicago Fire. Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for listening to the episode. We just want to break it with a word from one of our sponsors, us and you.
That's right. Gully Squad out in full force.
That's right. Out. I mean, you mean in full force. We are staying inside.
We are outdoors spreading this disease.
That's what we do, Gully Squad. We cough in everyone's mouths,
but we're spreading gulliness, all right? None of that COVID nonsense.
Nah, dude. We're spreading COVID-69.
Okay. That's the fun one.
Yeah, dude. You didn't think you'd want it in the beginning, but when you get it, you're like, you know what? It's kind of fun.
So, yes, shout out to Gully Squad. And, for people who help support the show, help us put out more content. We've been doing a lot more stuff, especially on live streaming. They've been a part of it as well. We've been doing stuff on Twitch. It's been really, really fun. Even though, we're stuck at home, we can still do some fun stuff and give, whether it's exclusive content, a dope Slack channel. We're still putting out great work, and then that's all because of Gully Squad.
Absolutely, and they support us, and we want to make sure that that's we give them back some cool content, and also we want to make sure we find other people that want to come hang out in this Slack channel, because so far it is pretty lit. It's pretty awesome.
Exactly. So if you want to join Gully Squad, all you got to do is go to soccercooligans.com and click on the Join Gully Squad button. It's right there on the menu. It's at the top. It is at the bottom. Very visible, easy to find. And it's a great community. And there's also great perks, obviously. The Gully Squad was invited to our birthday party. And how lit was that? I mean, they got to hang out with. Who are some of the folks they got to hang out with, Alexis?
I mean, it was a wild time that I'm kind of forgetting that because I drank so heavily. But we had Sal Volcano of the Impractical Jokers come through.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay? The Impractical Jokers.
We had Alexi Lalas come through, who some say is a kind of a clown. Right.
Yeah, see? he's a less practical joker. He also serenaded us, right, with a guitar. Ellie Menjem of Derby Days and Copa 90 fame.
We had Zach
Valentin, Kyle Martino, Edson Buttle. Yes. I mean,
everybody was there. It was super, super fun. So those are some of the cool perks that come with being in Gully Squad. And we try to give everybody a really fun and unique experience that you may not be able to get everywhere else. If you, just a casual soccer fan. So feel free to join. You can subscribe at whatever level and whatever you want to give every month. And there's different, perks for the different levels as well. So make sure, go to soccercooligans.com, click on the Join Gully Squad button, and come aboard.
Toot toot. All right, baby, we're back on a Cooligans Living Room FC. And Christian, I'm excited for our next guest. Okay, well, good. All right, I don't want to be the only one. We've seen this gentleman play in MLS for a bit now, manning the midfield. Previously, we saw him with Montreal, now with the Chicago Fire, all the way from Kampala, Uganda. Ladies and gentlemen, unless you're driving, put your hands together for the one, the only, Michael Azira.
Hey, Michael, how's it going, man?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us. Yeah, I mean, I want to start a little bit with your MLS career because I just want to give you some props because obviously, yeah, you are right now with the Chicago Fire. You were with Montreal Impact. Before that, you were with a really good stint with the Colorado Rapids. And I know that because you were on my fantasy team all the time. You were a solid midfielder, reliable for good points.
This is the only reason we brought you on. So Christian can thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
$30 he won.
Thank you.
I'm just saying, a good, reliable midfielder, and I'm sure that's why you found success in Major League Soccer because I'm sure lots of coaches just trusted you manning that midfield.
Man, thank you. I'm glad I was on your funnest team, man. That's really great.
When you were a young boy in Uganda, did you dream one day that a television host would thank you?
No.
Oh, that wasn't in your journal?
It wasn't, man. But I'm glad. I'm glad I met you now. So that's really great. Okay, it makes my day.
Talk a little bit about your because I read your Players Tribune article and it gave a really good explanation of sort of how you went from being a kid in Uganda, getting a chance to play at that tournament in Brussels and making it to the college scene here in the U.S. Why don't you sort of update your audience a little bit? What was that like just sort of getting these opportunities and being able to look at your opportunities here in the U.S. and be like, all right, maybe it ain't perfect right now. Maybe things aren't going exactly right, but hey. I never thought I'd even get this far. So, yeah, why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, man. All right. So, as you said, I was born and raised in Uganda. And I have four brothers and one sister. And we had a good family, I would say, because my parents always worked hard to put food on the table, But, we always look forward to Christmas because that was when you get maybe some new shoes or new clothes or something, a new shirt. But besides that, the rest you have to take care of yourself. It's like buying boots. I had to save my own money to buy my first pair of boots. And I was balling in those things, man. I thought I was the man, man. I'll wear them to school, coming back home, I'll put them on. Dude, it was the best. It was the best feeling ever. But, it told me something, because it told me from the beginning to save, to save money for something, to work towards something. So I was able to buy my own pair of boots, when I was in primary 6 and I was around 11, 12. And I was really, really, man, that was the best day of my life, to put on boots for the first time, because we used to play without boots, you know, play in the roads, yeah. you know, on yeah. dirt roads, and the cars would come, you stop, and then you play again. There are a lot of nails on that that area there. We knock our nails out. But, you know, so after finishing primary in Uganda, I started high school. My parents couldn't afford it. And I met someone, his name is Mr. Ken Davis. He was able to take care of my school, and he trusted me. And because we used to play with his son, he was working for the World Food Program. And so he realized that I like school, and that's when we traveled to Denmark to play in a small tournament in Lemvi, and it was in Denmark. So after that, I realized...
Although I did read that in Denmark is where you first tried pizza.
Yeah, that's true. I'd never had pizza before.
You've had better pizza now, right? You've been in New York?
Yeah, they always talk about a lot about the pizza in New York. But I've tried it before anyways, you know, because we played in New York one time and they brought it to us. So it was really good.
There we go. Yeah, I want to thank you for trying the pizza. Christian, thanks you for fantasy. Yeah. I want to thank you for trying our pizza.
It's really good.
Alexis is the pizza expert on the show. I mean, in life too. He's very much knowledgeable.
I know too much about pizza.
Yeah. So I'm actually curious, what is Danish pizza even like? If that's the first time you're having pizza, I imagine you're like, this is the greatest thing.
It was fire, you know. It was fire. It was really good, you know. I was like, wow, this is good. We should have this every day.
When you got to the Chicago Fire, you're like, you named it after the pizza in Denmark.
Oh, man. Yeah, okay. Man.
Yeah. I'm sure it was good. Yeah, that's great. I mean, obviously, now that you've
It was just a cheese pizza, you know, but it was really, it was good. Of course, it was my first time, and I was like, wow, you know, you could just have bread and put on some cheese and some sauce, and that's it. You know,
you're like, this is all, but when you put it together,
it's really good, you know. So I was like, this is good, this is fire, man.
How about the pizza in Chicago? Have you had it, and do you enjoy it?
Yeah, I love it, you know. So one time I ordered this dish pizza. It was my first time. I didn't know how big this thing could be. I was by myself. So this thing was big, bro. I was like, wow, I can't finish this.
You knew you were in trouble when the delivery guy's like, boop. It's a truck backing up. You're like, why?
Dude.
Why?
I was
a
like,
forklift. I just ordered a pizza.
Dude, it was too big. I was like, I can't finish this. I just had one pizza and then it's so sad I had to throw it away. You know, it's.
Oh, no. Yeah. I was like, well, no. You know what? I was in the first time I was in Chicago, I remember I got. You know, we had deep dish pizza, and then no one could finish it, so we had all this pizza left. So we're like, you know what? We're not gonna throw it away. We're gonna go and give it to maybe a homeless person on the street, and so they can have a meal that evening. I find this homeless guy. I walk up to him, go give him the box. He's like, No, I'm good. And he literally has like six boxes of deep dish pizza. He's like, no. He's like, I'm clearly okay.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to use them as bed sheets. Seriously. So many. Yeah.
You know, can you give me something better? You know?
Yeah, exactly. Did you get a salad by any chance?
Yeah, you know.
Does that one have vegetables on it? Because this is too much.
Seriously.
It's a lot of cheese.
No, this is good. As far as your time now with the Chicago Fire, you've been with a couple MLS teams. What has been the feeling now? You're playing in Soldier Field, that you're with the Chicago Fire during a time of like a kind of lot of transition. But how are you feeling now? You kind of adjusting to the squad.
Oh, it's really great, you know, because you know Coach Ruff has done a good job to put the team together. We have a lot of new players and a lot of Hispanics, you know. But you know, it helps us also to learn the language, you know.
It's, of course.
So, but he brought in a lot of good players, and he's done a good job to put us together. And you know, the guy knows the game, man, and he's changed the way we play. And we play some fun soccer now, which is really good, you know, attacking soccer and exciting for our fans mostly. But you know, hopefully, we can continue to improve and do better as a team. But for me, mostly, you know, I've enjoyed my moment here. You know, it's learning so much from players, from the coach, and you know, and all the clubs that I've been at, you know, because it's a blessing, you know, a kid from Uganda is here in MLS, you know, playing at Soldier Field. Who knew, you know, there's so much history in the stadium, you know, it's amazing to be part of this of this program and what they're trying to achieve. So I'm really blessed.
Of course. I love the positivity. It was great.
Thank you.
And Alexis did mention the Players Tribune article that you had written. And I highly recommend everyone check it out, because it really gives you a great background on your upbringing and how you got to where you are. I want to talk specifically about when you got your scholarship and came to play in college. You went to Kentucky, correct? And sort of the culture shock, and you described it very well of like, people in Uganda think of America as your Golden Gate Bridge and Statue of Liberty, but Kentucky is very different than both of those things. And kind of the adjustment period, whether it's like, learning the language more, knowing just like, it's different than just like, New York or California there's probably a Ugandan community that you can go and connect with. But in Kentucky, I'm sure that's a little bit harder to find.
You were the Ugandan community, maybe.
I was the only community there. Yeah. So I have my friend, his name is Henry. He lives in Charlotte now. Henry Kalungi, he came to the United States before me. So he recommended me to his college, to his coach. I went through university and they came to Uganda to watch me play. So they watched me play and they liked me. They gave me a scholarship. And this was really exciting, man. I was like, this is it. I've been trying to get out of here for so long. And I think this is it, but I didn't tell my parents first. I was like, I'm going to wait to see if this is really happening. Is it a dream or no? I need to wait.
Yeah.
So he gave me the scholarship and I was really excited. But then they used to call me the national team. I was on the under 20, under 23, but they would call me, just to shadow to see how they do the training. So my passport was already at the embassy and we had a game. But to play in these friendly games, you need your passport. So even on a game day, the coach came, he's like, Michael, we think we want you to start. I was like, what? Man, dude, no, I can't. I don't have my passport. My passport is like, what are you talking about? Like, yeah, it's at the embassy. I can't be here. They're like, oh. They're like, okay. So I talked to the president of SOCA. He told me, okay, Michael, we wish you all the best, but you can always come back and play. So I was traveling on Friday, and I told my mom on Thursday. So I was like, Mom.
You told her the day before you left?
Yes.
If I told my mother that, I would have showed up with some bruises.
Really? Oh. Yeah. I was like, no. We're a lot of kids, man. I didn't have, mom to be paying attention to me all the time, which helped me out so much because that gave me so much freedom to do whatever I needed to do, like to go play soccer from morning till evening. Like, she'd be like, there's a lot of kids anyways,
As long as you're out of the house, not giving me any trouble.
As long as I do my chores, I bring water from the well, put it at home, do dishes, I leave.
Nice. So, bring water from the well. That's we all grew up.
True. Seriously, So I told her, mom, I got a scholarship. Because she always wanted us to finish school before we could play soccer. Like, she really wanted my elder brother to finish school, but he couldn't. He didn't make it to go all the way to the university. And I told her, Mom, one day I'll make it, But she's like, we have no money. How will I ever make it? So that day I came back and I told her, Mom, I'm going to go to college. She's like, no, Michael, we have no money. I can't afford it. I'm like, Mom, I'm leaving tomorrow. She's like, where are you going? I'm like, Mom, I got a scholarship. I'm going to the USA. She's like, no way. I'm like, yes, Mom, I'm leaving tomorrow. And then she's like, whoa. So she was yelling somewhere, like, no way. I'm like, Mom, you see, that's why I wasn't telling you. She's like, okay, can we do something for you? Can we throw a party? I'm like, Mom, you don't even have money, Don't waste your money. Just hold on to it. Use it for something else. She's like, okay, can I at least go with you to the airport? I'm like, yeah, you can do that. That's because I was like, I don't want to take her from her work. She always worked hard, to take care of us. And I was like, Mom, don't have to worry about anything about the ticket, because that's when Mr. Ken Davis, I showed my scholarship letter to Mr. Ken Davis, who was paying for my high school. So he had to approve it, looked at it, he called the school to make sure that it's real. And so then he's like, Michael, don't worry, I got the ticket for you. I was like, wow. You know,
that's amazing.
It's, dude, yeah, this guy yeah, is like, I mean, he was like God sent, man. Like, I don't know.
He's an angel for
he's
sure.
He's an angel for sure. Because, you know, out of the blue, he's like, Michael, don't worry. I got the ticket. Because there's no, where was I going to get the money, bro? I had nothing.
Yeah.
You know, but. You
can't take the bus to the college.
No, bro.
All right, so we'll cut through Antarctica.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah. No way. I was like, oh.
No, but that must be, I'm just like imagining that moment of how proud your mom must have been, right? I mean, when you gave her that news, because I'm sure she's proud of you for playing soccer and how great is that got you, but it's going to college, right? I mean, for so many parents, I mean, my parents are immigrant parents from the Dominican Republic. They didn't go to college. And then the fact that my brother and I did, and that is like, you know, For some families, like that is the you know, the success. They're like, oh, I couldn't have this in my life, but I was able to give it to my right. children, and I'm sure that was something really, you know, important to her.
Dude, they brag about it. You know that I have a kid at the college, like you know. But dude, she was really happy for me, and you know, because like as I said, she always wanted us to go to school, but because she couldn't afford it. But Mr. Ken Davis came out of the blue and he's like, Mike, I'll take care of you, man. And so I got,
that's wild. You know, how do you repay someone like that? How do you repay someone that's done so much for you?
Like I went back to him, and that's the reason, one of the reasons why we started the foundation. You know, I went back to him and I said, Mr. Ken Davis, how can I ever repay you back? You know, he told me, Michael, you don't have to pay me back. You know, just pass it on, do it for someone else. I was like, wow, this guy is a genius, man. Is that, you know, touched me so much. And I was like, you know, I need to find a way to help other kids, you know, to give them an opportunity, you know. And that's why I was like, you know, let's start a foundation. We started with just forming tournaments, you know, and we organize a tournament every year at home, just give kids opportunities to play soccer and just encourage them and empower them, give them hope. I'm like, you know, if I made it, you can make it too, you know. We have different paths, but I think you can make it as well. You have to believe in yourself, you know, because opportunities are always there. But if you don't prepare when the opportunities come, then there's no way you're going to make it. So we use this tournament as a way to empower kids and encourage them and give them just an opportunity to express themselves, to be kids, you know, so that they know they don't have to worry about anything, just to be kids. Because, you know, we provide them with meals. We give them soccer balls and jerseys and, you know, just to give them something to be proud of, you know, to know that, you know, if Michael made it, I can do it too, you know. So, and that's the man behind Mr. Ken Davis, you know. He gave me that, you know. I'm like, if he did it, let's also try to help someone else, because he did it for me out of nowhere, you know. So
now we were talking a little bit about your foundation. What is the goal of the foundation to provide? I mean, you must be looked at as kind of like a local hero, and I'm sure you use that to your advantage, right? Playing for the national team, you're playing soccer professionally, right? You're probably giving the kids advice, like whatever you do, don't go to Columbia, Kentucky, you know, like different advice, different advice, you know. What is the goal? What is the purpose? And how are the kids just like view you? Like, you must be like, holy crap, like a kid from our neighborhood made it, you know?
Dude, I don't know. I don't know how they see me, but I take myself like, you know, I keep it at the low, you know? I know you won't find me in the spotlights or anything like that, because I like spending more time with the kids, you know. When I go home, at least I do like a training session with them and just play with them, you know, and continue to empower them. But the main purpose of the foundation is to help kids have access to, you know, to opportunities, you know, like education and through soccer. So, like, I'm trying to be able to organize schools, like private schools, which can bring in some kids from back home. Because we always select like the best players out of the tournament, and we're like, how can we support them? So what we do is, we know, we try to find them scholarships back home. So now we're trying to expand it to see if they can come to the US as well. Because, you know, I won't say that don't go to Kentucky, you know, because at the end of the day, getting to Kentucky is better than just staying in Uganda, you know.
That's a good point.
You know, because you always have to start somewhere. And, you know, and Kentucky, I know it wasn't the best place, but, you know, it taught me so much, you know, to be patient and to be appreciative of things. Because a coach took a chance on me to give me a scholarship, you know. He would have turned me down. So if a kid, if that's the opportunity where he's going to start, I'll tell him to come, to go through there and get the, because the most amount of things to get the education. Because when I got there, I wanted to leave, but I was like, and I remembered why I'm here. You know, I came here to get an education first as I pursue my goal to become a professional soccer player. So if that's the opportunity that's available, I'll tell him, you know, it's okay. You can come and we'll take care of you. I'll keep in touch with you to make sure that you do everything right. But, you know, back home, we're trying to help kids have the access to opportunities through scholarships and buying them books to stay in school. Mostly we empower. So this tournament is mostly focused on education, you know, like, because most of kids, like, there's some good players, but they can't afford school. So that's what Mr. Ken Davis did for me. He paid for my school. I could play, but I couldn't afford my tuition. So I was like, okay, let's stick to that. But to do this, we have to work with parents as well, because you can't do this alone. You have to talk to the parents and make them believe in your cause, in what you're trying to do. So we work with some local people, like the people I grew up with, you know, to make sure that, you know, they monitor the kids to see how they're doing and their grades and stuff like that. So, but they're also working with local schools back home, you know, like, okay, we like, would you give this kid a scholarship? You know, he's a good soccer player. And would you give him a scholarship? I recommend him. And because some schools still remember me, and they're like, you know, it's like, okay, Michael, we remember you. If the kid is like you, then that's okay. We can keep him. So we try to advise the kids to be disciplined and to take care of their school first. So that's the main purpose of the foundation, just help kids have access to these opportunities, you know, and to guide them through these, some of these little things, because it's easy for kids to lose it, you know, just, you know, when you're desperate and you know you're broke, people take advantage of you easy.
Yeah, so, very much so, yeah.
So if you give them an opportunity, like, you know, I'll take care of your school, don't worry about it, and then I'll give you books, we'll take care of the rest little by little. So we try to find them scholarships, and also if there's an opportunity for, so because Chicago Fire was going to bring a kid from Uganda last year, but because of COVID, you know, he couldn't come. And also Mississippi Bria, I played at Mississippi Bria in my PDL season. They were going to bring a kid over during the summer, but the COVID stopped everything. So we partner with this kind of organization, you know, and they're willing to help, you know, to give an opportunity to a kid from Uganda. So that's what I'm trying to work on right now, to create these partnerships which can support kids from Uganda. And, you know, you never know if there'll be another Zira. That's my goal, man.
Of course. No, so, that'd be amazing.
That'd be huge.
I want to ask you about the, once you finally started playing professionally, you mentioned Mississippi. You also play for the Battery, the Charleston Battery.
Which also brings in a lot of people from Cuba. That's where I'm from.
Yes.
Charleston Battery gets a lot of Cuban players.
Osvaldo Alonso, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and then you went into Major League Soccer, obviously with Seattle Sounders. Yeah. What was that feeling like to go? I mean, you're already a professional player, but to go to the first division, how did that feel once you got that call?
Dude, that was a dream come true, man. Because, you know, it's like the way things happened, I don't even know how, I can't explain it. But I always sit down, I'm like, you know, maybe I was just prepared for it. Because when I was in Charleston, the coach in Charleston Battery, he called the coach in Seattle, who is the head coach now, Coach Schmetzer. He's like, you know, there's a kid here from Uganda. Would you take a look at him? They're like, yeah, send him over. So that's when we had the reserve league, you know. So they called me, they were going to play Portland. They played Portland and the reserve team plays the next day. So our game was the next day. So when I reached there, I was not even going to start. And Steven Zakwani said, I don't want to play. I don't want to play in this game. And I was just there on the bench. The coach said, Michael, you're going. You're going to play. I was like, wow. Just like that. Like, I didn't even think about it. And they told me play as a left midfielder. I'd never played as a left midfielder. But I was like, if this is my opportunity, if this is my chance, I'm going to go give my best no matter what. And I went in there and had a good game. I scored the winning goal. Man, that was a game changer for me, man. Like, they told me, Michael, you have to come back for preseason. I was like, wow, this is it.
Wow.
Like, I'm going to this preseason. I'm going to give everything, man. I'm going, if it means biting, I'll bite you, man. I'll bite you, I'll grab you, man.
You know, I'm watching Luis Suarez clips.
Yeah, man. I'm Monet, bro. I'm like, this
like, crossing.
You know? Because, you know, you have to be, I was like, I'm hungry for this. I want this, you know. This has always been my dream, you know, to be a professional soccer player. So I was like, if this is my opportunity, I'm going to take it on, man, no matter what. And I came back for preseason and they played me in every position, man. But I didn't care. Wow. You know, they're like, Michael, right back, left midfield. I was like, I don't care. I'm just going to go play. You know,
yeah. And give me the gloves. Just, put me
in. Gloves are kind of difficult. Yeah, those are not easy, my friend. I don't know how those guys do it. Respect to the
like,
goalkeepers.
Michael, you're dressed as one of the officials. I'm trying it all.
Yes,
man.
I don't care. I'll go anywhere.
You know what? Red card. Yeah. Bringing it up. How about
that? Oh, man. So,
no, that's amazing, man. Yeah, continue.
So the coach in Seattle called Lech Ziggy, he came and told Charleston he would like to sign Michael. And then coach in Charleston is like, Michael, do you really want to go now? You know, I could take you to Tottenham. I'm like, I'm going now. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I was going to take you to Tottenham to try out. I'm like, I've been here for 3 years. You didn't take me. I think I'm going to go now. Tottenham will find me later. You know?
Okay.
So they took me to Seattle and I was like, this is my dream, man. It's a dream come true. And I was so excited. I was so happy. And I called my mom and called my dad, you know, tell them about it. And they were really happy for me. And I've always wanted, you know, like, I was like, cause we were renting back home, we were living in one bedroom. And I was like, I'll build a home, mom, no matter what, I'll find a way to build a home. And successful, I was able to make it, you know, I was able to build a home. And that was something, you know, I was like, mom, I've told you.
You built your mom a home?
Yes, man. I built my mom a home. And I was like, wow, this is nice, man. So that was really nice for her. And she was really happy and like, she's like, Michael, thank you. So we get to talk once in a while, you know, but she's really happy. And I was like, I was able to do this for my family and it gives me something, you know, to be thankful for, to play in the league, you know.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. I would just say like, Alexis is a big, big Arsenal fan. So if you had gone Tottenham, I don't think you'd even be on this show.
Wouldn't have happened.
I'll be honest, it worked out great. It worked out best for you.
Yeah. Thank you. Awesome.
We have a group called Gully Squad. That's our supporters, if you will. Gully Squad are the best. And we let them ask some questions. And we have a massive Chicago Fire fan amongst the ranks. Her name is Nicole Hack. And nothing happens in Chicago with or without her saying so. All right? She is
the mayor, yeah.
Okay? She's the new Al Capone when it comes to soccer in Chicago. And her question is great. First of all, she says, hi, Michael. But she said, what is the transition to playing at Soldier Field been like? And how is the team preparing for the final few games in hopes of making a playoff position? I have a feeling she typed that last sentence out with her fingers crossed because she is a huge Chicago Fire fan. So what's that like playing at Soldier Field? And how do you guys think you're setting up for these next few games?
Yeah, so first of all, you're truly like, it's really exciting to play at that stadium with so much history, you know, but, you know, we miss our fans, you know, because it's always nice to play in front of your fans, you know, it's not the same them watching on TV, you know, but I know they're supporting us, you know, afar, but we're truly thankful for their support. But we miss them there in the stadium and, you know, it's nice to play on grass, you know, it's everyone, we're enjoying it so far. The good thing, we haven't lost a game there, so we need to keep it like that, you know. We need to collect more points in there. And then, you know, first of all, you know, we're trying to prepare, you know, it's very important to win your games on the road, you know, if you want to make the playoffs. So we're trying to focus on winning some games on the road. It's because that's the only way, you know, you can really have that push for the playoffs. And you know, we talked with the coach, he's always, you know, trying to empower us and encourage us, you know, tell us, you know, guys, we need to focus on these four games. Or we take one at a time, you know, so we can be able to collect as many points as we can to make the playoffs.
Yeah, it's been, I've caught either at the MLS's back tournament and then when, you know, during the restart, the Fire have been a completely revitalized team. They're so much more like fun to watch.
Very different.
The last, you know, this season, especially. Another thing I wanted to ask you was, but I know you have two children, and I'm curious about this because I always find when you are raising your children in America and you are from a different country with a very different upbringing, how rude are these kids and who do not appreciate what they have? How do you feel? do you get to the point where you're like, you're lucky you have these things?
I know.
Are you like, go find me a well and
bring me some water. Walk 2 miles and then come back.
Yeah. They're like, what about the faucet? No.
Don't
get it.
Go. Yeah. Brother, look at me like, what's a well?
Has that been
it must be different, right? Raising kids in America versus how you were raised, right?
Yeah, you know, it's a bit different, but, you know, because my wife is American and, you know, we bring that balance together. So, and also to my wife, she's like, she's a down-to-earth woman, you know, she's humble. So she tries, she keeps them in line for sure. She's, I'm the fun parent. She's the one who corrects everything because she spends most of the time with them, and me with the travel and my career, you know, it's always like you come home and then you travel. So even when they have to do something, they have to get approval from my mom. Can I do it? I'm like, I just told you I'm your dad. I say, do it. You know? They have to look at their mom first. So my wife is always laughing. She's like, Michael, you're never home, you know. Don't be surprised. But, you know,
you're not the authority.
I know, you know. But, you know, she's done a good job to keep her family together, man. She worked so hard to take care of the kids. But, you know, she brings that balance, you know. I try to teach them my language a little bit, which I should do more because they ask me more about it. And, you know, with time, we want to take them into Uganda to see where I came from. And we share videos and we share pictures and they share with talk to my parents as well. And so they get to see that and, you know, they get to ask me a lot of questions. Who is that? What is that? You know, so you're like, you know, we need to have a farm. We need to have some chickens running around. You have to learn to chase them. Because to eat the chicken back home, you have to chase it until you catch it. When you catch it, then you can eat it. You know, it's not like, you just go pick from fridge. It's here already. Like, you have to chase it first. And these chickens can run, my friend, eh?
Sure. That's how you develop your speed.
Yeah, you have to, my friend. You know?
You have to. Do you have any idea how different I'd look if I had to catch my phone?
We won't eat that day.
Cows are pretty slow.
We would not eat that day. We would starve that day.
You just see me on the back of a cow trying to choke it out. We in steak today, boys.
This cow's going to get tired at some point.
It's going to give up.
Oh, my God. If we have to rely on you to eat that day, we'd starve, man. We'd be like,
You would. You'd be eating a lot of vegetables.
I know, man. Hey, we need some meat around here. The chickens would be happy to have you around. Be like, he can't catch us.
They're like, not a fat guy's coming. We're good.
We're living another day, folks.
Yes, we are here, man. Another day.
Oh my goodness. All right. All right. Thank you again to Michael Azira for joining us on the show of the Chicago Fire. Super fun time, man. Thank you so much for joining us. I mean, seriously, it means the world. Michael, is there anything you want to let people know about before we sign off?
Oh, first of all, I just want to say thank you to you guys for having me today. And say thanks to all our Chicago Fire fans, you know, for sticking with us through all this. And also, I'd like to thank all the people who helped me to support my foundation, the Azira Michael Youth Foundation. You know, and we have an Instagram page as well. It's Azira Michael Youth Foundation as well. And people can go there to donate or to support us in any way that they can. You know, we take, you know, used gear, soccer gear. And also, if some people want to support us financially, we are truly thankful. That would be really kind of them as well. So they can go out there and support us in any way that they can. And, you know.
Okay.
Absolutely. Azira Michael Foundation.
Azira Michael. Make sure you show the support. Go to the website. I mean, there's a bunch of great information and you guys, you're doing amazing work. So thank you for that. All right, everybody. Make sure you also follow us at Soccer Cooligans on all social media. Follow us on Twitch, twitch.tv/soccercooligans. We do a bunch of fun stuff there as well. At Fubo Sports, and make sure to follow the Fubo Sports YouTube channel for full episodes of the program. All right, Michael, let us end the show the way we normally do. So thank you so much again for joining us. So for Michael Azira, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
We Cooligans!